Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bear His Cross. I am David Marks, and I'm so glad that you are joining us for this podcast. We have a new series starting today on Noah, and I'm very excited about this. I've always been interested in the study of Noah and the ark and the story that comes from the early chapters of Genesis and from the creation of the world. And before we get into that, I just want to take a moment to thank Brother Thurston for taking some time out of his busy schedule to come and be part of the last two series that we did on Jonah and the prodigal son. It was a great time having him here and getting to fellowship with him and getting to discuss biblical topics with him and all the different insights and point of views that he gave. He just did a wonderful job. He has now moved on to other ministerial work that he's going to be doing, and being a very busy person, we know that he has a lot of calling on his life and that God will bless him in the work that he does. So thank you, Brother Thurston, for taking that time and for being with us. Now, I want to give you a quick introduction to the study of Noah. This is a story that many people who even are raised in church and have been a Christian, so-called Christian, their whole life, they will scoff at the story of Noah. They will say there's no way that the world was flooded. So I want to give you a little bit of maybe preview or maybe insight into my mind and my philosophy and my thoughts and my beliefs before we even get into this. I just feel like that is full disclosure that needs to be said. So number one, I want you to know that I am a creationist. I believe that God created everything. I believe that he spoke it into existence. I believe that the word universe actually was used in many times in history because God literally spoke a single sentence, and with that, he spoke things into existence. Now, he formed man, and I think God has the ability to do that. He's God. He can do anything he wants to do. So, that being said, and please don't overanalyze that comment. I know there's people that will. I am a creationist. I believe God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe that what is written in Genesis is true. So, if you are a scoffer, listen before you start to ridicule or criticize or attack or whatever it may be. There's many of those, like I said, who have been raised in church their whole life, and they just cannot accept the fact that the story of Noah had taken place in the history of the world. Now, there's a lot of people in the scientific community, and I use that term very loosely because I really don't feel like they're that scientific in what they do, that will believe that things came from nothing and that salt water basically gave us life, that will totally scoff and reject the idea of Noah building an ark to put two of every kind on the ark to survive a worldwide flood. But we're going to break down all aspects of Noah in this podcast series. This is not just talking about the measurements of the ark, even though I do think we'll take some time to go through what Noah did with the ark and the size of the ark and what it would have taken to build it and the time frame. I would also like for us to look at this. So that would be like a physical view. I would also like for us to take some time to look at the spiritual connotations of Noah's ark and what that really means for us today. I do also want to take some time with you as a listener and as we study together to look at what is happening societally in our world today and how that compares to Noah's day. And I think that's where I want us to get to today as we get into the introduction to Noah and the time frame that is leading up to this. So if you have your Bible and you can follow along, please make sure that you're doing so. Now, I use a King James Version. That may not be the translation that you use, but I want you to just please follow along with me. In the creation story of the world, God creates everything. And this is in the early chapters of Genesis. And in this creation, he creates a being separate from every other being that he has created. That being is called man, mankind, humankind, I guess would be the PC way to say it now. But he creates male and female for necessary reasons of procreation, and he tells them after the fall to populate the earth. Now let's go through just for a moment and talk about the fall of man. Man was in this beautiful creation that God had made, Adam and Eve, the first two, and in that, by Satan's deception, they decided to go against what God had told him. God had given a command. You can have of every fruit of the garden except for this one. And they decided that they were going to go against that. And when they did, we know what took place. Sin entered into the world, and we entered into a fallen creation. From that fallen creation, God then allowed mankind. It would have been easy then for God. I mean, there were two people. God could have just wiped them out then. But I think that the story of Genesis and the story of creation leads us to who is going to bruise the head of the serpent, which would be Satan, which would be Christ to come in time. And with that, it also shows God's love for us. So the creation story takes place. Adam and Eve fall. From their fall, of course, sin we all have heard that before, I'm sure. And now we have mankind that is procreating, it is reproducing. And not only that, but according to the account, which I do believe is Genesis, man was living much longer. For example, Adam lived 930 years. After 130 years of Adam's life, he had Seth. After 105 years, Seth had Enos. After 90 years, Enos had Canaan. And the reason I bring that up into it is because as you start going through in time, of course, many of you have heard the story of Enoch, which was Noah's great-grandfather. And that's important. I want you to remember that. And the Bible tells us that he walked with God, and God, you know, he never died because God took him. And I'm paraphrasing a lot through Genesis here, so just bear with me. Noah would have been the 10th generation from Adam. And Noah's life, Noah's father Lamech, was 182 when he had Noah. So for those of you out there who are in your late 30s and you think it's too late to have children, hey, just look at Lamech. Or if you want a better example, the oldest living man in the Bible, you've probably all learned this in Bible school, and your friends might have talked about it in church one day. It was just kind of one of those things we always talked about, was Methuselah. Methuselah was Noah's grandfather, and he was 187 when he had Lamech. So the reason I bring that point up to you is because Noah literally could have heard the story of the fall very firsthand from other generations. So when Noah was born, Adam had already passed, Seth had already passed, but Enos was still alive. So Noah literally as a child could have heard this story from Enos about, hey, my grandfather Adam, he was in the garden. He was there. He saw what happened. He knows. And if not that, you then had Methuselah, who was son of Enoch, who God took him. He never died. And Methuselah, of course, lived way long enough to see Noah. As a matter of fact, Methuselah's death took place right at the same time of the flood. So we can get into that a little later on. The flood story, though, with mankind procreating and living longer, the world's population, and I've heard all kinds of different estimates, but the estimates that best may fit this would have been about 7 billion people. Could have been 10 billion. I've heard an estimate as high as 10 billion. A lot of times when we think about the flood story, we always think about maybe a small area of the world, maybe a very small area like the Middle East, or maybe the Asia Minor area, and that's where the flood took place, and it was regional, and population might have been 2,000, 5,000 people. But when you look at it in the perspective and in the eyes of what was taking place in the world at that time, Earth's population being much greater than a worldwide cataclysmic flood changes everything. Now, there are those who will scoff at the age of Adam. being 930 years. They're going to say, there's no way that can take place. They're going to scoff at Noah living 502 years before he has Shem, his son. And the reason I bring that up also is because Noah's life gets really interesting about age 500. It really gets interesting. Now, if you're listening to the podcast to criticize, maybe you can learn something here. Maybe this can strengthen your faith, or maybe it just gives you ammunition for you to fire back. I don't know. I'm going to tell you this much. For you to believe the flood story, for you to believe in the whole Noah story, it takes faith. Faith is a gift that God gives us. It's not something that I can impute on myself. It's not something that I can give myself or give you necessarily. Faith is a gift from God. And from a young age, the ability to look at the story of Noah and believe it to be true was just there. I can't explain it to you outside of God bless me with the gift of faith. Not many other gifts, definitely, but the gift of faith is there. So I don't question the story of Noah. I believe it to be true. It takes belief. It takes faith to believe this took place. So let me set the timetable. The world has been around roughly 1,500 years, and up, give or take, 1,450 maybe, okay? In that time frame, man has started to really, really ramp up in population. And the Bible is very clear about what is taking place in the world. Now, remember, this is a fallen world. This is also a world that is very different than ours today. We'll talk about some catastrophic climate change for those climate change folks out there in just a moment. But men began to multiply. And let's just read in the sixth chapter of Genesis. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, there's been many, many, many arguments over what that verse means by the sons of God. This, of course, could have been the bloodline of Seth and coming from Adam. This could have also been those who may have been ungodly kings or kinglets. You've heard of Nimrod before, I'm sure. I've also heard the usage of, and this is going to get off in the weeds, so just bear with me. And I have a very good friend, he and I discuss this all the time, about how the sons of God being the angels that came into those women, and they created a very evil-spirited offspring called the Nephilim. And he's reading a book on that. My friend is right now, Mr. Washington. I hope you get to listen. He's reading a book on that right now. So I'm not going to get into the details or argue the fact of who the sons of God were. I don't want to, you know, miss the forest for staring at a tree, right? But in the third verse it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." Now remember, when we're looking back at this, Adam was past 120 whenever he had Seth. Seth was 105 when he had Enos. Methuselah was 187 when he had Lamech, which was Noah's father. So 120-year cap on the life of people who are living over 900 years, well, that just kind of puts a huge kink into it. Mankind was living 12 times longer, 11 times longer than what God is saying now, maybe even 9 times longer, and God is saying, no, I'm cutting it off at 120, which still to a lot of us seems like a lot of years. Okay. So I do think it's important to note here that it says that God speaks and says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now let's go back and back up to Enoch for just a second. Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him. God's spirit was there with Adam. You know, he would meet him in the cool breeze of the afternoon, even when Adam had fallen. Basically what we would call convicts him. He calls him out and says, "Adam, where are you at?" And Adam was hiding his nakedness. So God's spirit dwelt with these men after his creation. He dwelt with his creation. But the time is coming when the world is about to change cataclysmically. I think I said that right. The world is going to change in a way that mankind could have never predicted, although it was preached about for a very long time. See, the world before the flood was very different. And let me tell you my points on this. It had never rained. There would have been a very tropical environment all over the world. There was a water canopy, whether it have been of ice or just a very strong humidity, that existed all over the world, which created a very tropical climate. Imagine everywhere on the earth being like Hawaii. It's kind of, in my mind, what I look like. The vegetation would have been very lush. The oxygen content would have been much stronger, which would have also been a contributing factor to men living longer. And to the sunlight's rays would not have done the damage then that it does now. There was a lot more protection. There was a barrier. There was a better atmosphere. It was just a better world to live in before the flood. So that compounds on why it's important to note the disbelief people had when Noah steps into the picture. But the Bible tells us in that verse that God says, "My spirit is not going to strive with them, and they're going to be kept at 120 years. This is where we're going to be." Of course, many of us know now that if you make it to 70, I guess 72 maybe is the average age for men, and maybe 80, close to 80 for women. That's not even touching 120. The fourth verse says, "There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown." This is why I want to attribute to the sons of God being the lineage of Seth. These would have been men of renown, men of old, mighty men, showing that they had power, that they had strength, they had good leadership ability, if I could use that. But there was a problem with these men. Now, I do believe there were giants in the earth, because it says so biblically. If it did not want us to believe that, it would not say so. So yes, I do believe there were giants, and I think that we still see remnants of that DNA structure in mankind today. If you have ever stood next to Shaquille O'Neal, you might also see that. You take Kevin Hart and send him next to Shaquille O'Neal, and you can see the difference there. Did not mean to bump my desk. Sorry about that if you heard it. Fifth verse says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That brings us to modern day and gives us a prelude into what we're going to discuss next week on the podcast. Okay, I've often wondered many times how many of our grandparents' generation would tolerate half of the nonsense that we have in our society today. It seems like that every turn we have in the world that we live in, as Christians especially, you look around and you think, what else could take place? What else evil thought could mankind grab a hold of and run with? Because it seems like right now that they just try to invent evil things. We've seen the destruction of the family. We've seen the breakdown of the church. We've seen the government basically telling the church in America, you can't go. Shout out to John MacArthur for taking a stand. We've seen things that our grandparents' generation would have never thought they would have seen. They would have thought that was foolish. I don't even know what they would have thought. And the reason I bring this up is because the Bible is very clear. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. The earth's population was very large at this time, by best guesstimates, roughly about what it is today, maybe a little larger. The earth was a different place, so men were living longer. However, that longer life was not giving them something better, which goes against evolutionary theory, because what is evolution supposed to teach? That men get smarter and greater and bigger and blah, 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 blah. Society was literally corrupt. Society was awful. Society was pointing towards evil, not pointing towards good, not pointing towards love, not pointing towards something better. And that's what we're seeing. So as society is growing larger in population, we see that the world is not getting better, but it's getting worse. And that is a good example and a good point of view of what is taking place in our world today. So be sure to join us next week as we talk about the relationship to pre-flood Noah's day and our day that we live in now.
Thank you for listening to Bear His Cross. You can find more information at bearhiscross.com. Also, we want to invite you to go to Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast provider and leave us a rating so other people know about this podcast.